As we ask for thy Holy Ghost to be here, we ask, O God, that thou hast anointed this worship service, that thou hast helped us, inspire us to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth, not just with words, but to actually, truly give you our hearts. We ask, O God, that thou hast helped us to and inhabit the praises of thy people here today. We ask, be with us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, the first song we're going to sing, it's real easy to find in your Melodies of Praise hymnal. Number one, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Praise the Lord, and there is no name more mighty than the precious name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why don't we sing number 135, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
Just to trust his cleansing blood.
just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Praise the Lord. And you know, you can never go wrong trusting Jesus. That's the best thing you can possibly do. Fully trust Him. For He is trustworthy. And when He says He'll do something, He will do it. Because it's impossible for God to lie. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 222, In the City Where the Lamb is the Light.
Without a night, and our
tears shall be forever wiped away. In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night, I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I'm going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night, I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Then let sunlight fade, but twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul affright, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night, I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night, I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. We get to that city, we're not going to need a sun anymore, we're not going to need a moon anymore. We will get our light directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a day that'll never end. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's sing number 182, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless
this morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of His resurrection share. When His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and the work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Praise the Lord. Jesus, what a wonderful day that's going to be. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 195, We Shall See the King. There's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well, daughter, go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Praise the Lord.
glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Doug, if I could get you to do that for us. It's great to see you today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory. And we ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used. We ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here today, and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. And why not sing number 198, Jesus Saves. Praise the Lord. I know my niece likes that one a lot, and I do too. It's one of my favorites, so let's sing it. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every man, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell the sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the islands of the sea, echo back the ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nation now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you know, there will be battle, strife in this life, but just sing above all that, Jesus saves, because he does. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it's time for us to get started in the Word. It's always an exciting thing to do. Glory to God. And I'm going to call the title of this message today, Grown Up in Jesus Christ. And that's something that we all need to work on and growing in the Lord Jesus. You know, when we come to the Lord, we start out as babes. The scriptures tell us that very thing. But the more we study the word, the more we pray, the more we seek God, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all need to do that. So we're going to look at that topic today, grown up in Christ Jesus. But before we do anything, I would like to open with a prayer, and we are going to be starting in 1 Peter chapter 1. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to study thy word. We ask for thy presence, for thy spirit, for thy Holy Ghost to be here upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst open our understanding. We ask that these words would come alive in our hearts, not just as words on paper, but words in our very hearts, Lord. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst move upon us, change us, refine us, perfect us for the better. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst inspire us, that thou wouldst direct us, that thou wouldst help us to truly grow in thee. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand what thou hast for us today. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, to start off with, as I mentioned, we're going to be starting in 1 Peter chapter 1. And the topic today, grown up in Christ Jesus. All right. In 1 Peter chapter 1, of course, we know that this epistle was written by the Apostle Peter, and he has a lot of good things to say, a lot of ground covered. He wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and we're thankful for that, that the Lord inspired him to do that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Praise the Lord, I like that already. And we know that if we want to have grace and peace, we can only get that through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they try to have peace in this world, but there's no peace in this world, not without Jesus Christ. You can't have peace without the Prince of Peace, and if you reject Jesus Christ, there will be no peace. But thankfully, we can have a peace that passes all understanding, in fact. It's incomprehensible to the world. They can't understand how we could have this peace. And we look around and see all the horrible things that are happening in this world. But we know that ultimately God is in control. And there are a lot of wicked, evil men out there doing things. But they're only going to get so far before they're stopped entirely. And we have so much to look forward to. And that's how we can have that peace to the Lord Jesus. Peace not as the world giveth, but the peace that comes from the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And his mercy is abundant, his mercy for us, oh, it's so abundant. And we don't deserve it, but he gave it to us anyway. I'm so thankful for that. And we have a lively hope. It's not just a casual sort of a melancholy hope. It's a lively hope. Praise the Lord. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, things in this world fade away. Even our bodies will fade away. Eventually, we'll leave this world one day. But when we get to heaven, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and it will not fade away. That's what we have reserved in heaven for us today. We have a reservation with heaven. Glory to God. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And there are temptations in this world. There's heaviness in this world. And we endure those temptations and that heaviness. And when we do that, we have growth. We grow in the Lord Jesus. We get stronger. And the opposite happens if you give in to the temptations of this world, you get weaker. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, the trial of your faith. Your faith will be tried in this world, but we can get through this world. And as we're tried, our faith will grow. It'll get stronger and stronger if we just put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and believe what he told us. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that is a joy that it's so wonderful you can't even adequately describe it with words. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we can have that joy even today, praise the Lord. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You see, that's what we have waiting for us. The end of faith, the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. And we get to heaven and then we have it. We have that salvation, that gift from the Lord. We made it through. Praise the Lord, but there are going to be growing pains in this world. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. And you know, Jesus, he did suffer in this world. He suffered greatly, more than we can imagine, more than we can comprehend. We've never felt pain like the pain he felt. But you know what followed those sufferings of the Lord Jesus? Glory. Praise the Lord. He was victorious over sin, over death, over hell. And we too can have that victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And you know, he's talking about the prophets here. And the salvation they prophesied of, and you go back and you read some of those prophecies, and the Psalms, the book of Isaiah, and so forth, and it's all about the Lord Jesus. That's what they were talking about. That's where we get our salvation, through the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus saves.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus Christ is revealed to us, so is grace and so is hope. We get our hope, we get our grace, we get our mercy from the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. What does that word holy mean? It means to be set apart. God is holy. He is set apart from this world, and we too must be holy and set apart from this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We know that Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, and we are a part of that kingdom, so we are not a part of this world. We're just here for a little while. This is a temporary assignment. But our eternal home is in heaven. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know, God does not judge us based on our race. He doesn't judge us based on our physical attributes. It tells us here, he judgeth according to every man's work. And you know, there is a day coming when we're going to have to stand before Jesus and we're going to have to give an account of what we've done in this world. But if our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, then we won't have to worry about that. Praise the Lord. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When you're washed in the blood, you're made clean. Your sins are washed away. They're gone and God will not remember them anymore. And he's an all-powerful God and people might say, but He knows everything. How could he not know about our past sins? But he chooses to forget them. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing he does that for us. You know, it's not one of those situations where he says, yes, I redeemed you, you're forgiven, but remember back in the day when you did all those horrible things? See, he doesn't do that. He doesn't hold that guilt over our heads. And of course, we shouldn't do that to other people either. When we forgive them, we should forget about their offenses in the past. Let them be gone. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus did for us. But when we're washed in that precious blood of Christ, then we have salvation. Then our sins are washed away. Praise the Lord. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Did you know that Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world? That's because he was there at the foundation of the world. Remember what Jesus said? Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was there. Jesus is the Creator. You know, it may be hard for some people to understand, but if you fully read the Scriptures, it becomes quite clear and apparent what that means. And if you read John chapter 1, it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you read down in a chapter, and it tells you that the Word was made flesh. God, very God, robed in flesh, manifest in the flesh. Jesus is God. Praise the Lord. And he was foreordained from the foundation of the world. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's where our faith and our hope is. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And we need to have unfeigned love. Feigned love, that would be fake, pretend love. And, you know, there's far too much of that in this world today. We need to have real, genuine love for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Unfeigned love. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And you know, this world is a temporary place for us, and in fact, this world itself is not going to last forever. It's waxing old like a garment. This world itself is going to wear out, and nothing they do is going to save it. You know, they try to say, well, go green, drive those electric hybrid cars or whatever, and maybe, just maybe, if we're real careful, we can save the planet. No, you can't save this planet. This planet is going to expire. And, you know, they say, well, climate change, global warming, we've got to stop pollution. You know, the restrictions they want to put in place for people, what they say is necessary to save this planet, that would never work. For one thing, there's no way they could get everyone to go along with it, and that's a good thing because they would be horrible things. And one of the things they want to do is restrict the number of children you can have, which is contrary to God's word. But that's something they want to do, and that's actually something they do in China. But as far as pollution goes, I can bring up China there too. And, you know, there's so much pollution in China there that a lot of times they have to wear masks out in public. You know, in the middle of the afternoon, it's as dark as night sometimes with this thick gray smog. And it's a horrible situation they have over there. They have so much pollution. They're the largest polluter in the world. And they surpassed the United States several years ago. But, you know, if they tried to put all these restrictions in to save the planet, you'd never get China to go along with that because they care about that money they can make and they don't really care so much about that pollution they cause. And I guarantee you the communist government over there, they're not the ones breathing that in, but they do let the people breathe that in. And no, you can't stop it. You can't fix this world. This world will expire. And the scriptures are very clear on that, but they might try. And actually, a lot of that is just a big scheme, I think, to get people to obey them and go along with what they're saying. But, you know, you can't save this planet. It's going to wear out like a garment. And the planet itself is going to expire, and our lives here are temporary. You know, you stop and think about it. Even if we live to be 100 years old, that's not very long. It's just a tiny speck in time. And time is just a tiny piece of eternity. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. You know what endures? The word of the Lord. Heaven endures. The Lord Jesus endures. And if we're with him, we too endure for all of eternity. We will have an eternal home in heaven. A lasting experience. And what we have here in this world is so temporary. But what we have in heaven, that'll last forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. But we see in verse 23 that it talks about being born again. And that's a wonderful thing. We all must be born again. When we're born again, we start off as babes, as little children in the Lord. And we need to grow up. We need to get stronger. We get stronger and stronger and stronger as our faith grows, as we study the Word, as we walk with Jesus. But we're born again, and we start off as babes, and that's something that the Apostle Peter is going to be talking about in chapter 2. But before we look at that, I want to look at John chapter 3 for just a minute, and Jesus is going to be telling us about being born again. John chapter 3, and in this chapter, we're just going to read the first portion of it, the first 12 verses, but in this chapter there's a man, a Pharisee, named Nicodemus. And this is a very, very, very important part of Scripture, for in this we receive instruction from the Lord Jesus about what we must do if we want his salvation. John chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now this man was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees didn't like Jesus very much. They didn't associate with him a whole lot. But this man, you know, God must have been dealing with his heart because he came to Jesus. But what's interesting, we'll see here in verse 2, it tells us that this man, he came to Jesus by night. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want to be seen by the other Pharisees coming to Jesus. So he's trying to do it in secret. Verse 2 tells us, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Well, that should be obvious. He did great miracles, lots of them. And obviously those miracles came from God. And this Pharisee, Nicodemus, he could see that. He recognized that Jesus was from God. And yet, he didn't want to be seen with Jesus, so he came to him by night. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what's this now? I'm born again. What's this all about? Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And you know, when we're born of the water, we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's a very important thing. I know some people say that isn't necessary, that you don't have to be baptized in water, but it's a very important thing. I actually talked to Rob on the phone last night, and he had been spoken to a man earlier in the day yesterday, and this man said that the Bible is misinterpreted regarding baptism. When it talks about being baptized, it doesn't mean with water. It's a spiritual thing. Well, there is a spiritual baptism, and we need that one, but we must also be baptized by water. And actually, you know, to just drive home that point, why don't we go real quick to the book of Acts? We're not going to spend a whole lot of time there because we have other things to cover, but Acts chapter 8, we're going to see when people were baptized. We're going to see exactly how it was done. You know, that's one of those things that you sometimes come across, and it's good to know how to answer people when they bring that up, when they say, well, you don't have to be baptized with water. That's not what it meant in the New Testament. Well, let's see how they actually did it. And it's going to tell us a little story. In Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26, it tells us, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." You know, this was a somewhat important man. He had an important job. He was under the queen of Ethiopia, Candace, and he was in charge of her treasury. He was obviously personally acquainted with the woman. So this fellow was somewhat important, and he was studying the Word of God. Praise the Lord. He must have had faith, and tells us as we read on here that he was reading the book of Isaiah. Verse 28, "...was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." So God specifically sent Philip to this man. Praise the Lord, you never quite know how God is going to answer prayer. But he sent Philip to this man, and he was going to preach Jesus to him. Verse 30, "And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And we know that that prophecy was about the Lord Jesus Christ, and Philip was about to tell this man. And you know what's amazing? When Philip preached Jesus to this man, he took it in instantly. He believed it. You know, a lot of people, when you try to preach to them, they'll fight it. You know, they don't want to give in. But this man, he took it instantly. As Philip preached it, his faith grew, his faith in his heart. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? See, they found water, and right away he wanted to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they needed water to do it. So if anybody tries to tell you that you don't need water to be baptized, well, you can show them these scriptures. You know, the scriptures are clear. We're baptized in water. And then we're also baptized with the Holy Ghost. There are two baptisms. Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Ghost, but Jesus does not baptize us with water. And it's kind of interesting, if you read in the Bible, in the Gospels there, Jesus' disciples baptized, but Jesus himself didn't. That's because he baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. And when he was baptized in water by John the Baptist, he was setting the example for us for what we must do. But we see here, they needed water to baptize this man. And they found water. God provided water so that this Ethiopian eunuch could be baptized. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So they went down into the water, and we know that the word baptized means to be fully whelmed, put down in the water, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, it required water. So if anybody ever tries to tell you you don't need water baptism, just show them this verse. Or these verses here in Acts chapter 8. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And just to further cement the point, we can look at Acts chapter 10 real quick, just the very end of that chapter. And of course, we know the story in Acts chapter 10 about Cornelius. He was a Gentile, but Peter was sent unto him and preached unto him, and they received the Lord, and they received the Holy Ghost. In fact, they received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized in water. Sometimes that happens. But we know that's a wonderful story, and we won't read the whole chapter today. But in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, it tells us, "When Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." Praise the Lord, we can have the Holy Ghost too. It's not just for the Jews that believe, but also for the Gentiles. Praise the Lord for that, because that includes us. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water? That these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So we see, yes, we are baptized with water. Yeah. Praise the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Why don't we go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 5, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And, you know, we must be born again. It's not a physical birth. We don't crawl back into the womb. But when we go down in that water in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come up. And we are a new man. We put off the old works. Those old works are dead. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we are born again. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" You know, a lot of people can't comprehend this, and Nicodemus, he was having trouble with it. And, you know, he obviously had needed to grow some more, and when we grow in the Lord Jesus, he opens our understanding, and we perceive and understand the Scriptures a whole lot better. Verse 11, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" So Jesus was telling him about two baptisms, of the water and of the Spirit, and we must have both.
Amen.
But we must be born again. And we are born again to the Lord Jesus. And that's something that Peter was talking about in that first chapter of that we just read. And we are going to continue on in 1 Peter chapter 2. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." You know, when we first come to the Lord, we get that milk of the word. You know, the milk that's easy to consume and easy to digest. And we grow and we get stronger and stronger in the faith. And before long, we're not just having the milk, but we're having the meat too. But we start off with the milk. And when we have that milk, we grow. And you know, one of the problems that people have in this day and age is they might say they're a Christian, but they don't read their Bible very often. Maybe they go weeks or even months without reading the Bible, and they say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." But if you're not getting the milk, how are you going to grow? They're not growing at all. Their growth is stunted. And sometimes they wither up and die because they have no spiritual nutrition, if you understand what I'm saying. And we get that from the Word of God. We start off on that milk and we grow. We get stronger. And we all need to grow in the Lord. I don't think any of us can say we've arrived, that we know everything we need to know. No, God continually perfects us as we grow in His grace and in His knowledge. But we start off on that milk, the sincere milk of the Word. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and we know that the Lord is gracious, we are so thankful for that. But as we have that milk and later that meat and we grow, then we come alive. And this chapter is going to tell us about growing. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know, we are all stones in the temple of God. When Jesus was here on this earth, he lived in a body. But now, we, the people of God, are the body in which He lives. We're all a part of that body. We're all a precious stone, a lively stone in the kingdom of God. And He dwells in us. His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, dwells inside us. And we are the temple of the living God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You know, if you believe on the Lord Jesus, if you fully trust in him, you won't be confounded. Sometimes there are things that confuse us, but if you pray and seek God, he can reveal the answer to you. He's the only one who can. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. You know, Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation, but to those who don't believe him, it's a stone of stumbling. They trip all over Jesus. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And yes, people, they sometimes open the Bible and they get all confused. They stumble at the word. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. You know, we're not called to be just like everybody else out there. We're not called to just fit in with the world. And, you know, a lot of preachers out there, they try to fit in. Rick Warren, for example, he's one of those guys. He's getting very close to Pope Francis. He just loves that guy. And that's actually something I covered a little bit in the newsletter I just wrote, which should be available soon. It's been proofread. I just need to do the corrections and we'll print it. But, you know, Rick Warren, he likes the Pope because the Pope's message appeals to people. And he says, you know, if they like you, then they'll listen to your message. You know, people have to like you. You have to be likable. You have to appeal to the masses. That's what Rick Warren is saying. You know, that's obviously what Pope Francis is trying to do. But is that what the Scriptures tell us? No, we're a peculiar people. We're set apart, a holy nation. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We don't blend in with the world. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, there was a time when we were all scattered sheep, but the good shepherd, he went out and he sought us and he found us and he gathered us together unto himself. And now we are those lively stones, and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ dwells inside us. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And Peter is going to tell us some of the things we must do if we're going to grow. And we all must grow in the Lord Jesus. We need to get stronger. Verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." They war against your soul. The fleshly lusts of this world, they make you weaker. Every time you sin, that distances you from the Lord. That's what sin will do. But when we come to Him in repentance, we can have that close, personal connection to the Lord Jesus. But we have to abstain from fleshly lusts. We need to be pure. We need to be clean. We need to refrain from sin. You know, so many people out there, they try to make excuses for themselves and for other people. They say, well, we're all sinners. You know, we've all made mistakes in the past. That much is true. But I hope to God that someday we can all get to the point where we no longer have to say we are all sinners, but we can say we were sinners. You know, it is possible to stop sinning. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have told us to do it. Praise the Lord. So, if we are sinning, then we need to cut it out. And if we make a mistake, we need to repent of it right away, get that out of our lives, get that cleaned up. You know, sometimes we might do things and realize too late that we shouldn't have done that, but we can repent and we'll just grow stronger and make sure that we don't do those things anymore. Praise the Lord. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as a stranger and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And, you know, it's true that as Christians, a lot of people see us and they criticize us for this and that and the other thing. But, you know, if we have good works, they should be able to see that too. They should be able to recognize that we belong to God. You know, you shouldn't have to go around telling people that you're a Christian, trying to convince them of the fact. They should be able to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ in you. And a lot of times, if they have evil spirits and demons, if they're around you, they're not going to like you very much because those spirits react to the presence of Jesus in your heart. But it should be evident to people that we belong to the Lord. After all, we are a holy and set apart people, a holy nation, a peculiar people. It should be recognizable. You know, when you tell people you're a Christian, their reaction shouldn't be, "Really? I had no idea." "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." And you know, people might look at this verse and not like it very much, but we understand from the scriptures that if there's a law or an ordinance, perhaps, and as long as it doesn't contradict God's word, as long as it doesn't order us to do something that God's word tells us not to do, then we have to obey that ordinance. You know, we're supposed to wear our seatbelts, and I know some people don't want to, but it's not that big of a deal, really. And we're supposed to pay our taxes, and we do it. And it's not a fun thing, obviously. And you know, I know tax time is coming up pretty soon. It'll be here before we know it. And nobody likes doing that, but you're better off just obeying that rule. You know, Jesus, he didn't have to pay tribute, but he did. And he sets the example for us. So when there's an ordinance, and it's not contrary to God's word, we obey it. You know, because we are supposed to live peaceably among men as best we can. The scriptures instruct us on that. But, you know, if they come out and say, well, you can't pray anymore, well, you pray anyway, because the Bible tells us to pray. Yeah. And if they come out and say, well, you have to take this mark if you want to buy or sell, we're not going to take it. Because the scriptures tell us not to. So we understand, you know, if they come out and try to say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that, and it's contrary to what God's word tells us to do, then we obey the scripture over man. Because it's better to obey God than to obey man. But if it's an ordinance that doesn't contradict God's word, then we're better off just to keep the peace, to obey it, and that's what Peter is talking about here. Verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So he's instructing us here on things we must do if we're going to grow in the Lord Jesus, if we're going to get stronger. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And we can apply that to our lives today. When we go and work our jobs, we should do the very best that we can. You know, sometimes it's hard. You might have a horrible boss or whatever the case may be, but we need to do the best we can with our jobs, with everything we do, really. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And you know, to be able to do that, you have to be a spiritually mature person. You have to be grown up in the Lord. He's explaining to us the things we must do if we are going to grow up. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He did set that example for us. He is our example, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And, you know, if we're grown up in the Lord Jesus, we will behave in that same manner. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We were lost sheep at one point, but thank God the shepherd went out and found us. Praise the Lord. And we came to God as newborns, born again, as newborn babes, and we have that milk of the word. We take that milk and we get stronger and stronger. And as we absorb it, we grow, and then we get to the meat. And we must be grown up in the Lord Jesus. We need to continue to grow. We need to make sure we keep reading this word so that we do continue to grow, so that we don't starve to death and wither away. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and the Apostle Paul is going to tell us some things about being grown up in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And these are all things that we, as mature, grown-up Christians, must do. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And you know, that body of Christ it's talking about there, that's us. Yeah. Praise the Lord, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus lives inside us. We are that body. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What is that gift? That grace given to us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Praise the Lord. His grace, it's a gift. And when he ascended up into heaven, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave us that gift. And he took captivity captive. He won for us. He set us free. He delivered us. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you know, we all have a role to play in the kingdom of God as members of the body of Christ. We all have things we must do for the Lord. And some people are called to be evangelists, some are called to be pastors, some are called to be teachers, some are called to be apostles, some prophets. And there are other things that we can do for the Lord too. If the Lord hasn't called any of you to those specific things, then there are other things we can do for the Lord also. But we all have a role to play. We're all part of that body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. See, we have to grow up. We have to be perfected. We have to keep growing. And we do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And you know, there are cunning and crafty men who come along and they try to deceive you. They might not even realize they're doing it. They may think they have some special and new insight into the Word of God and they're way off, and they try to deceive you. But if we're strong in the Lord, we can see through that deception. He gives us discernment. If we're grown-up Christians, we don't have to fall for those things. There are a lot of false doctrines out there being taught. You ever wonder why there are so many Christian denominations out there? Well, so-called Christian denominations, they're not all truly of God, but there's a lot of them out there, and you wonder, why is that? Well, you know, people, they read the Bible, and they come across a part they don't like, and so they think, well, we're going to skip over that part, or we're going to interpret it this way in a manner we like, and someone else comes along, and they find a part they don't like in the Bible, and bang, suddenly you got a new religion, and it happens over and over again. That's why there's so many different denominations of religious denominations in this world today. But, you know, we don't need labels. We need Jesus. We don't have to walk around bragging about what denomination we belong to. Denominations shouldn't even exist, in my opinion. We should be Christians, and that should be sufficient. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. You know what you need if you want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ? You need the truth. You must have the truth. And this book, this Bible, is the truth. We know it's the truth. And we must grow. And so doing, we must have the truth. That's what it's telling us right here. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we grow up in the Lord Jesus. We get stronger and stronger as we consume this word, as we take it to heart, as we absorb it. It becomes a part of us. We get stronger and stronger in the Lord, and we grow up in the truth. And we grow up in the Lord Jesus, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And another thing I should mention in verse 15, while I'm still thinking of it, it says, speaking the truth in love. And that's an important thing we have to remember. You know, some people, they might quote scriptures and they might do it because they just do it out of spite or angry with someone. But we have to speak the truth in love. That's of the utmost importance. If you're not speaking it in love, then, well, we're not going to grow. Growth is when this truth is spoken in love. We grow up in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'll read verse 16 again. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, as we absorb the scriptures, as we take them to heart, that body of Christ, it gets stronger and stronger. Increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That body gets stronger and stronger in the Lord. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, there are people out there, they might know the scriptures, but if their heart is blind, they're not going to be able to absorb them. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, if you want to grow in the Lord, we need to take this to heart. We have to obey these words. We have to follow them. We have to put off that old man, our old sins, our old life, and be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And that's true. And we must have that truth. But if we're going to have that truth, we have to lay aside the old man, the old corruption. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And, you know, that's a good verse to take to heart. And we could apply that to our lives. And you know, sometimes perhaps you might have an argument with your spouse or whatever, and it tells us here, let not the sun go down on your wrath. And, you know, if you've had some sort of an argument or a fight or whatever, it's important to make up before you go to sleep. Don't let the sun go down on that wrath, because then it'll just grow and get worse. And, you know, it's important to take care of that as quickly as possible. So, you know, that's the way I believe it should be. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't let the devil get a foothold in your life. Because if you let him get his foot in there, if you let him get his foot in the door, he's going to take more and more. And you're going to have a real problem on your hands. Don't let him have an inch in your life. If he tries to bother you, send him packing right away. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The scriptures tell us that. It doesn't say he'll slowly back away either. It says he'll flee. And I like that. You know, if you are walking with the Lord Jesus and you're filled with the Spirit of God, it's terrifying to the devil. When Jesus is present in your life, when that Spirit of the Lord Jesus is there, devil's not going to want to be around you. But he tries to get your mind off of God, off of the Lord Jesus, so he can get a foothold in your life. He can get you thinking about other things, putting your mind on other things, then he can get in the door. And we can't let that happen. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And you know, that should be basic. We're not to steal. I think that's pretty obvious. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, we need to be careful of what we say too, because words matter. And we must not have any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths. And these are all things that if we're mature Christians grown up in the Lord Jesus, this is how we will behave. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And you know, sometimes Christian people, they'll behave like children. They'll argue over some of the dumbest stuff. I see a lot of that on Facebook. You know, people get on there and you think of bitterness and wrath and anger, and you think of children who fight, and a lot of times over silly things. You know, my brother ate the last popsicle, and you get all angry about that. And then you got Christians, and they fight over silly things too. They argue over, well, it's a pre-trib rapture, it's a mid-trib rapture, it's a post-trib rapture. You know what? Just read the Bible. There's no use arguing about that. They can't even agree on it. You know, they get into these camps where they argue about which type of rapture it's going to be. But the truth is, the word rapture isn't even in the Bible. Yes, the Bible does say we're going to be caught up, but that's at the last trump, and it's going to be a noisy event. And after that happens, there will not be a next day. So those people out there arguing over which kind of rapture it is, it's quite a pointless endeavor, because frankly, there isn't going to be one. There's going to be a catching up, but there's not going to be a rapture. You understand, the word rapture is not in the Bible. You can search it cover to cover, and you won't find it. But, you know, people, they like to argue, and sometimes they argue over silly things. But if you just stay in the Bible, you don't have to worry about any of that nonsense. And you can lay aside that childish bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. You know, and you put it away. That's what we must do. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's how mature, grown-up Christians in the Lord behave. They're kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And, you know, if we'll just follow this chapter as a blueprint, we can be grown up in the Lord. We become as newborns when we're born again. We start off on that milk, but after a while, then we get into the meat of the Word. And, you know, we must be grown up, mature Christians if we're going to understand the Word. If we're going to tolerate more than the milk, if we're going to be able to digest the meat. In fact, Hebrews chapter 5 talks about that. I suppose we could go there for just a moment. It's not a long chapter. You know, Hebrews chapter 5, what this chapter talks about is how Jesus Christ is our priest. And, you know, people might look at that and say, well, he couldn't have been a priest because he wasn't a Levite. And we know in the Old Testament, in the nation of Israel there, they had priests after the Levite order, Aaron's family and so forth. And they were the priests in Israel. But if you read the Bible, going back in the book of Genesis, there was another priest named Melchizedek. And what Paul is telling us here in Hebrews is that Jesus is the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And that was one of the jobs of the priest, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. But thankfully, in this After this time, when we have the salvation of the Lord Jesus, we no longer have to offer animals. We no longer have to offer them as sacrifices, and I'm so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. That wouldn't be pretty. It wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be enjoyable in any way. Verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And we know that Jesus, it was his destiny to be a priest, and he offered himself for our sins. That was his offering. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith in also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Praise the Lord. And he is our author. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and he is the author of eternal salvation. If you want salvation, you must get it from the Lord Jesus. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And now it's going to talk a little bit at the end of this chapter about milk and about meat. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, we start off on that milk, but we need to grow so we can get into the meat. And you know I'm not there yet. Sometimes I feel like I'm not even worthy to be up here. I know my dad, he was so knowledgeable about the Bible and other things also. And I know I don't compare to him at all, but I do the best I can. But we're still growing. I'm still growing. We're all still growing. But we need to get off the milk and on to the strong meat. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And you know, when we're newborn babes, there might be portions of the scripture we don't quite understand or comprehend. But the Lord, he will reveal his word to us. He will give us understanding. Understanding comes from the Lord. That's how we gain understanding. You know, and I wouldn't recommend that a newborn baby Christian go and read the book of Revelation right away, because that's strong meat and you can get into a lot of confusion that way, and a lot of people have gotten into a lot of confusion that way. But we grow, we get stronger as we absorb more and more of the Word of God. We move on from that milk and we start with the meat, and we grow stronger in that too. Stronger Christians grown up in the Lord Jesus. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So praise the Lord. And that's one of the things we'll have if we're spiritually mature Christians. Discernment. To know the difference between good and evil. Right and wrong. When we get that knowledge from the Lord Jesus and by studying his word, praise the Lord. But if we do what the Bible tells us to do, if we do what we're told in Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2, we can move on from the milk, we can have the meat, and we can grow strong in the Lord, stronger all the time. We should all want that. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee for the many lessons Thou hast taught us in the Scripture. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast inspired us to grow in Thee. We ask that Thy truth, Thy holy word, would grow inside us and make us stronger. Stronger in Thee, Lord. Strong enough to take not only the milk, but also the meat, Lord. We ask for Thy discernment. We ask for Thy gifts. We ask for Thy promises to be alive in our hearts. We ask for Thy faith to grow in us, that we may be strong in Thee. We ask, O God, for Thy strength, for we know that through Thee we will endure in this world. We ask, O God, that Thou would be with us, each and every one of us, as we depart today. Let Thy Spirit be upon us. O God, help us to seek Thee, to draw Thee, to follow Thee hard after Thee, O Lord, to seek Thee in everything that we do, and to serve Thee faithfully, we pray. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll sing a chorus in closing. I guess we'll do number 78, Keep on Walking by Faith. That's a good one to sing. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. Walking right beside me, keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, you are dismissed unto prayer.
the money?
Mm-hmm. Early. Do we need more
things that they are used to turning money into?
Yeah.
We need to buy more batteries. We're going to Kohl's and Menards.
Okay.
Yeah. Menards, we're going to get batteries. Yeah, exactly. What just going. And me and Mom are going to Kohl's. We're going to get pajamas.
Okay.
That's her pajamas. We'll be worn out.
Zach. I don't think he was trying to steal it. Yeah. Me too.
I had cookies for breakfast. Maybe sugar.
Yeah?
Yep.
I think you're pretty.
Mommy got these tights on Amazon. Are they nice?
Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah, and they're comfortable, too. Yeah,
yep. Okay.
Come on.
Yeah. Thank you.